It was another record year for general aviation shipments. Gamma says user fees remain top of the agenda for 2008. And the Hawker 750 earns a type certificate. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, February 13th, 2008. On Tuesday, leaders of the General Aviation Manufacturers Association announced that 2007 year-end shipment figures for the general aviation industry have set another record. Gamma Chairman and Cirrus Design CEO Alan Klappmeyer reported that a strong worldwide market, especially outside North America, was a driving factor for general aviation in 2007. Quote, "As these economies continue to expand, we expect general aviation to play an ever-increasing role in these regions. Manufacturer backlogs are strong, and we think this bodes well for 2008 and the years beyond," unquote. Record industry billings totaled $21.9 billion, beating last year's figure by 16.5%. Year-end, worldwide shipments of general aviation airplanes totaled 4,272 units. That's the most in more than a quarter century, and up 5.4% over the previous year's 4,053. The industry also delivered over 1,000 jets for the first time in history. Piston airplanes fell 2.9% in 2007, but still posted the sector's second-best year in over two decades, with 2,675 deliveries. Shipments of turboprops totaled 459, that's up 11.4%, and business jet shipments reached an all-time high of 1,138 units, that's up 28.4% over 2006. After Klappmeyer announced the 2007 totals at Gamma's annual Industry Review and Marketing Outlook briefing on Tuesday, Gamma President and CEO Pete Bunce discussed challenges facing continued robust growth in general aviation. The first issue on his list, user fees, introduced yet again by the Bush administration in its fiscal 2009 budget proposal. Bunce says, quote, "Gamma continues to oppose the introduction of user fees on any segment of aviation. Achieving the next generation air transportation system objectives goes well beyond simply reducing congestion and air traffic delays. It will bring tangible environmental benefits as well. There is no more critical time for the aviation industry to come together to accelerate modernization and shape the aerospace priorities of the next U.S. administration and European Union," unquote. Hawker Beechcraft Corporation told ANN on Tuesday the plane maker has achieved FAA certification for its new light mid-sized Hawker 750. The 750 was introduced at the 2006 NBAA convention and utilizes the fuselage and wings of the mid-sized Hawker 800 series, providing the largest cabin in the light mid-size aircraft segment. The Hawker 750 has a 2,116 nautical mile IFR range and a cabin generously sized for flying 8 passengers. The aircraft is powered by two Honeywell TFE-731-5BR engines, each producing 4,660 pounds of thrust, and Collins ProLine 21 avionics are in the cockpit. Hawker Beech says the 750's operating capabilities satisfy the segment need for a high-performance, light, mid-sized jet. The aircraft is priced at $12.2 million U.S. with typical equipment. Deliveries are scheduled to begin by the end of March. The company says it will also pursue international certifications. A congressional investigation into FAA oversight of maintenance at Southwest Airlines has been triggered by whistleblowers who allege, paraphrasing here, that Southwest has been a little too free to move about the country. House Transportation Committee Chairman James Oberstar, a Minnesota Democrat, says he received documentation showing that the FAA inspector responsible for Southwest allowed the airline to operate aircraft in revenue service without properly inspecting the aircraft for fuselage cracks. The charge was made in a letter from the Transportation Department Inspector General's office to the FAA. The Associated Press reports the House Transportation Committee has scheduled an oversight hearing March 12th that will include a review of findings of an investigation by congressional staffers and the Transportation Department of the FAA's oversight of aircraft maintenance. Representatives from the FAA and Southwest did not return calls for comment on Tuesday afternoon. On Monday, the Teamsters Union seized on the news to call for a moratorium on all aircraft maintenance done overseas, claiming foreign locations are not properly regulated. The union has support in its position from a business travel trade group and some members of Congress. Up next on ANN, Russian bombers buzz the USS Nimitz. A veteran Boeing engineer is charged with spying for China. and the Teamsters will make maintenance outsourcing a point of contention if Delta and Northwest merge. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 13, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. The weekend buzzing of the Nimitz battle group in the Pacific by a Russian bomber has raised concerns about Russia's intent and the message it was meant to send. Marine General James E. Cartwright, the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs, told the Senate Budget Committee Tuesday the encounter, which resulted in the U.S. scrambling F-A-18s to intercept a Russian Tu-95 bear at 2,000 feet above the battle group, ended without incident but raises big questions. U.S. forces say they detected two of the bears early Saturday as they flew south of Japan. Two more Russian bombers remained about 500 miles east of the U.S. ships, and another orbited about 50 miles away, as one Tu-95 did two low passes over the Nimitz carrier group. Cartwright told the committee, quote, "Now what we are concerned about is, what are the indications of this return to a Cold War mindset? What are the implications of that activity, and how do we best address that?" Unquote. Cartwright conceded that the incident did occur in international airspace. The USS Nimitz arrived in Sasebo, Japan, February 11th for a scheduled port visit. Its crew is participating in friendship-building and goodwill-generating activities, as well as cultural exchanges, according to the Navy. A Chinese-born, naturalized U.S. citizen who worked for more than 30 years for Rockwell and then Boeing as an engineer and a consultant was arrested Monday and accused of stealing information on aerospace programs for China. Reuters reported the U.S. Justice Department arrested 72-year-old Dongfeng Greg Chung on charges including espionage involving economic secrets and conspiracy. Officials allege Chung passed secret documents relating to the C-17 Globemaster transport aircraft, the Delta IV rocket, and the U.S. space shuttle program to China, using his secret security clearance. Boeing spokesman Dan Beck said the plane maker was not a target of the investigation and has been cooperating with government investigators. In related news, a U.S. Defense Department official and two others were also arrested Monday on charges of passing classified U.S. government documents to China. Prosecutors say Greg William Bergerson, a weapons systems policy analyst at the Defense Security Cooperation Agency, passed sensitive information over a two-year period to an individual identified in court documents only as PRC Official A. As Delta and Northwest Airlines reportedly seek pilot union approval for still-secret terms of a possible merger, the Teamsters have expressed their own reservations over the deal, citing Northwest's outsourcing of maintenance. Teamsters President James Hoffa told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, quote, "Northwest does an extensive amount of outsourcing overseas," unquote. He called the issue and associated safety standards a key concern that should be addressed during regulatory review of a merger. Delta spokeswoman Chris Kelly replied, quote, "Delta senior leadership has made very clear its commitment to growing its in-house maintenance business by focusing on high-skill, high-value maintenance work. Last year, Delta Tech Ops brought in more than $377 million in revenue, and 2008 is looking to be even better," unquote. The Teamsters Union doesn't even represent workers at either Northwest or Delta, but notes the two are among several major U.S. airlines which spend two-thirds of contract maintenance dollars on repairs at foreign shops. According to an MIT analysis of Transportation Department data, Delta spent $467 million on outsourced work in 2006, and Northwest spent $647 million. Both of those numbers increased sharply over 2004. Hoffa says hiring standards in other countries do not include the same background checks or substance abuse testing. There's still more fallout this week from the abrupt closing of Silver State Helicopters. In Arizona, Silver State Air Rescue, in which Silver State Helicopters was a partner, ended service to Yuma Regional Medical Center on Wednesday. Fortunately for the center, Silver State was not the only provider. Officials there tell the Yuma Sun the remaining provider will be able to handle Yuma's emergency transport needs, even in a mass casualty scenario. Silver State Air Rescue was reportedly a partnership between SunCare, a local company owned by Gary Ewing, and Silver State Helicopters of Nevada. SSH abruptly sent its employees home and terminated operations at about 5 p.m. on Sunday, February 3rd, and officially filed for bankruptcy on Wednesday last week. Silver State Air Rescue folded the same day, and the Sun reported its calls to Ewing's home and office went unanswered. Yuma Regional Medical Center's other provider is Tri-State CareFlight, headquartered in Bullhead City. The company recently purchased the Diamond Air Jet Center at Yuma International Airport, which it plans to use as a base of operations for the area. Corin Kohler, chief executive officer for Tri-State, told the Sun the company has a helicopter and fixed-wing airplane in Yuma, will add a second helicopter within a couple of weeks, and can direct in aircraft and personnel from other areas if needed. Quote, "We have a small army on the river. If we have mass casualties, we can dispatch," unquote. Still ahead, Airbus is off to a roaring start in 2008. Helicopter pioneer Frank Piasecki has gone west. And Diamond Aircraft is the latest to build planes in China. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, February 13, 2008. I'm Paul Platt. Boeing beat Airbus for the ceremonial Airliner Sales Trophy in 2007, but so far in 2008, Airbus is off the line way ahead of its American rival. Airbus reported Monday it sold 238 planes in January. That's more than 3.5 times as many as Boeing, driven largely by an order from the Chinese government for 110 single-aisle A320s and another from Irish aircraft leasing company AWAS for 75 more. Boeing reported sales of just 65 jets in January. Airbus also reported a lead over Boeing in aircraft deliveries, 37 to 34. Airbus delivered more planes in all of 2007 than Boeing did, despite recording lower sales. Airbus Chief Operating Officer and Sales Chief John Leahy said last week his company projects 700 new orders for 2008. That's down almost half from 2007's record of 1,341. Boeing's 2008 total will be hurt by setbacks in production of the 787 Dreamliner, which was supposed to be delivered to customers starting in May, but is now delayed until sometime in 2009. Funeral arrangements are pending for helicopter pioneer Frank Piasecki, who died sometime Monday night at age 88. The Associated Press reports that Piasecki was with his wife, Vivian, when he became ill Monday at his home near Philadelphia. No details were given on the exact cause of death, but his son, John, told AP the inventor had suffered a series of strokes. "There are few of mankind's endeavors in which we remember the name of the second person to achieve a milestone, but Piasecki is one of them. 2 years after Igor Sikorsky became the first American to build and fly a helicopter in 1941, Piasecki followed. We remember his name because his designs differed philosophically from those of Sikorsky. Piasecki broke with the idea of using a tail rotor as an anti-torque device and instead pioneered the use of dual, counter-rotating main rotors. When Frank left Piasecki Helicopter Company in 1955, the company changed its name to Vertol Aircraft, then was acquired by Boeing in 1960. That means today's two-rotor Army Chinook and Navy Sea Knight helicopters, manufactured by Boeing, trace their DNA directly back to Frank Piasecki's early designs. Piasecki continued working on new designs right up to the end. His second company, Piasecki Aircraft, formed in 1955 when he left the original Piasecki Helicopter Company, has been developing the X-49A, a compound helicopter using a conventional single main rotor for lift, with a rear-facing ducted fan for forward thrust, which is also vectored to counter rotor torque. The aircraft made its first flight last June in Phase 1 of a program to help the Army evaluate the technology for future military aircraft. The company also pioneered unmanned craft, and in 2006 claimed the first successful unmanned flight of an autogyro under Level 4 autonomous control, meaning the aircraft flew a programmed mission, including waypoints, without human intervention. Frank Piasecki received the U.S.'s highest technical honor, the National Medal of Technology, from President Reagan in 1986, and a Smithsonian National Air and Space Museum Lifetime Achievement Award in 2005. He's survived by Vivian and 7 children. Diamond Aircraft has become the latest manufacturer to announce plans to produce planes in China. Shandong Bin AO Aircraft Industries, Diamond Aircraft's Chinese production facility, has been awarded production authority for the DA-40 TDI. That's the 135-horsepower Thieler diesel variant of Diamond's four-place piston single. The approval was awarded by EASA, the European Aviation Safety Agency, in cooperation with the Civil Aviation Administration of China, and authorizes production of the DA-40 TDI, including complete composite airframes. The purpose-built 400,000-square-foot Binshao facility can produce up to 1,000 aircraft a year. Plans call for a modest startup, though, producing 80 of the Garmin G1000-equipped DA-40 TDIs in 2008 for the Asian market. Diamond now has manufacturing facilities in Austria, Canada, and China. And finally, one of the most exciting programs anywhere for general aviation pilots is Virginia's Aviation Ambassadors Awards. We told you in the last couple days about how pilots who document visits to all 66 public-use airports in the Commonwealth of Virginia and selected aviation museums and safety seminars could earn prizes, including a nice leather flight jacket. Well, we regret that we must now tell you that after awarding 137 of the jackets, Virginia has run out of them and has also run out of money to buy any more. Spokeswoman Cherry Evans says pilots can still obtain the passport-style booklets used to collect the stamps that document their visits, but for now they'll have to wait to redeem them for prizes. I plan to talk with someone with the Virginia Department of Aviation later this week on the Aero News special feature to find out more about this. The program, by the way, is not limited to Virginia residents. The jackets have been earned by pilots from at least 2 other states. And you know what? Frankly, if this is the only reason you'd familiarize yourself with all the public-use airports in Virginia, shame on you. If it takes a free prize to make you a safer and more well-informed pilot, maybe you're also a cheapskate. Now then, if you'll excuse me, I need to get back on the phone. I'm trying to find 5 other guys to chip in for gas money to drive to the ASF safety seminar on the 20th. I don't want to miss my 1 in 10,000 shot to win a free Sporty's handheld radio. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today my guest is Mike Whaley, a supporter of the Valcaria Airport in Florida. You might recall our story yesterday about one of the most vocal airport NIMBYs being named to the Airport Advisory Board. And if you've been putting it off, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. After all, tomorrow is Valentine's Day. If you're downloading us manually every day, she'll think you're kind of geeky. But if you subscribe to receive your AeroCasts automatically, you'll demonstrate you're not afraid of commitment. Yeah, right. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.